guide, your concierge, your spiritual leader on this adventure, this journey that you're having into BDSM, kink, and fetish. Here on Everyday Kink, we will talk to creators, providers, insiders, to give you the inside scoop on this lovely journey that we're having. You'll get some tips. You'll get some advice. You'll get some ideas. But above all else, you'll get some great conversation. So stay tuned. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, this is your concierge, your spiritual guide, your host in this lovely world of kink, BDSM, fashion, all the beautiful things that come along with it. And today, we actually have my first repeat interviewee guest.
Ooh.
I know, I feel like I should have some champagne.
Yeah.
But it was St. Patrick's Day, and if I have champagne, I may be one too over the alcohol limit, so I'm going to keep it. We have the lovely Meredith here. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Doing good. We just finished an amazing shoot, and we got to play with pills.
We did. I love playing with pills.
I know. People are going to be like, what? I mean, you guys will understand it when you see it.
I think they'll get it if they know me. I think they do.
I don't even know how I should approach that.
Don't read into it.
Read into it.
Okay. It's a flippant comment.
We have the lovely Meredith here, who has gone through some changes since the last time.
Things, they are changing.
We talked.
Yeah.
Is it safe to discuss the changes we've gone through?
Yes.
Or,
yeah. All right. So
give us the rundown of what has happened.
Okay.
In these days of our lives.
So I feel like we should do a dramatic pose as though we're in a soap opera intro.
I know we should. When I start doing video for this, we're going to do like the stop where I have like the little credit scene going.
Gotta like fly my hair out. Okay, so if anyone listened to my previous episode, I was, you know, touting the praises of my husband, which I stand by all of those things. However, we have decided to go our separate ways. We've been together for 14 years.
Woo!
Married for 6 or 7. I don't know. Woo! I'm the dude. I can't remember anniversaries, birthdays. It's really bad. But yeah, I think we, you know, he's basically been the same, like, actualized person since I've met him. I, however, have a lot of issues that I've been working on for 14 years. And now I've come to the realization that I'm a different person than I think we both thought I was when we ventured into the relationship. And now it just no longer makes sense for either of us. I mean, he wants to, like, stay home all the time, pop out some babies, and, like, that's great. And I'm sure he will do that, and I wish him all the best. I am not ready to do that. It terrifies me. I would like to be on my own and figure my own shit out, because I basically went from my parents to him, you know, and I've always been very coddled and support. I need to be like an independent woman moment. So anyways, that's what's up. But it's very amicable. It's actually harder, I think, than it would be if we were mad at each other or if something terrible happened, because we're like, I still love you. Are we sure we should do this? Like, it's really, really hard. But I think we both recognize that it's the right thing for both of us. So yeah, that's what's up.
I know. You know what? For now on, I'm implementing a clause on this show. Never talk about significant others. Because it seems like whenever
that
happens.
I'm the cautionary
whale. Yes, when that happens, things go crazy.
Yeah, maybe it was the pod that ruined it all.
You know, and you know, we were given too much praise. That's what it was. We gave it too much praise. And then the powers that be said, you know,
she
what?
Death protests too much.
Yes, we need to tip this balance of the scales. So how has this new awakening, just so I could tie it back into the podcast.
Yeah.
How has this new awakening played into
the beginning adventures into the world of BDSM and kink and fetish that you were slowly dipping your toes into?
Well, I think now, you know, it's unbridled and more free because I'm not worried about the concerns of a partner. I'm my own independent agent, and what I say goes. So it's, you know, I'm still, let's not get wild. I'm not like a mistress in a dungeon or anything, but now I think I can explore that space in a guilt-free, you know, self-actualizing way. Whereas before, it was mostly me testing the waters and seeing if everything was okay, and maybe I wanted more, but I didn't want to push too hard, et cetera, et cetera.
What are some of the things that are now, if you don't mind talking about them, what are some of the things that are now open to you now at this point in your life that you've gone through this change that you weren't open to previously? Was there anything where you go, now that I'm in this state, I think this, I may want to give this a try. Is there anything that kind of piques your interest now?
Yeah, I mean, nothing specific, but I am trying to explore, I would say, whereas I was not doing that before. It was like sort of meat and potatoes, like standard 50s TV dinner, which was great. And I, trust me, I love a TV dinner, don't get me wrong. But now I'm just like kind of putting myself out there, and I'm actually hoping to kind of be taught by others rather than taking the lead.
That's good. I mean, as long as you get a part of a safe community, that should be no problem. Do you find like yourself excited about this next part of your journey? Because it's a whole new different realm, not just, you know, from the BDSM side, but life-wise in general. This is like a whole new journey, a new chapter for
it
you.
It is. It's. I have a lot of mixed emotions about it. When it was like more of an idea and in theory, I was super pumped about it. And, you know, I was like picturing like Carrie Bradshaw in like a New York apartment, like writing on a computer with the window open, being like a free, you know, whatever. I think as reality sets in, though, the terror, it's very frightening, especially I think for me specifically, because like I said, I've always been sort of taken care of. I've never really been my own person or been out on my own at all. So it's scary. It's super, super scary. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting and it feels important to me. I mean, my big thing was like, I don't want to be on my deathbed, you know, thinking I wish I would have done X, Y, and Z, but I was too afraid to pull the trigger. I didn't live a full life, you know? And whether or not, I don't know what's going to happen to me. Maybe Carl and I, you know, find our way back to each other. But all I know is I can feel that this is important for me to do right now. So to answer your question, terrifying, but yes, also exciting.
That's good. I mean, it's you should always have a healthy dosage of both. One to kind of kick you in the butt to make you do it, but the other one so you don't go too crazy and go too far off the railing. You always gotta have some type of check and balances in there. How has this new change approached you? How has this new change kind of adapted or changed the way you approach your modeling and what you model and how you model?
I actually haven't really thought about that. I think I haven't been doing a lot of modeling, honestly. I've been like going through that whole space. So that kind of fell on the back burner for a while. But now that you say that, yeah, I think, again, I can feel more free and open to explore things I might not have been open to exploring before, like out of courtesy and respect for my partner. I mean, not to say I'm not going to get crazy over here, but yeah, I mean, I think it's just a, I always say, like, I feel like I'm going through the college experience now, although 28's my PR age, so we're sticking with that. Listen, but like,
I'm not saying anything about that.
I'm finding myself now. You know, I think when people are first out on their own and, you know, it's a little late in the game, but I'm open. I don't want to self-destruct by any means. I gotta keep it under control. But I think also being on my own will help me do that, because right now there's no one to take care of me. I can't rely on anyone to make sure I'm safe.
Do what you gotta do.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, the freedom to explore, but within the reasonable means of being a responsible human who has to pay her own bills at the end of the day.
Well, it's good. I'm not too experienced with other communities elsewhere, but I know here it's a very welcoming, supportive community, and I feel like for what you are looking to kind of the path you're looking to be on, mm-hmm. it should be easy for you to find like supportive people, because around this time there's a lot of people who I've talked to who are going through that. I am changing, I'm doing like a big crazy stop on a dime turn.
I think
in
a lot of
life.
It has to do with COVID. Everyone kind of, you know, took a minute and reexamined what their home personal life looked like, and everyone's spending so much more time there. There's no more distractions.
Yes.
So I feel like that has a lot to do with it. But also I think it's my, again, I don't want to talk about my age, but I'm right in that zone where people are like, all right, what are we actually really doing over here for a minute? Let's think about it.
Well, I mean, I say COVID was just like the age-old thing that your parents always say. Well, how do you know unless you live with someone for a long period of time? Right now, you're in the honeymoon period. You go to your place, they go to their place, and you don't understand what it feels like to be with each other. I think COVID made a lot of people like, take a real good stock of their relationship.
For sure.
And while there's a lot of things that people like understood and kind of cherished, there are other things people go, you know, after dealing with this 24/7 for a year,
yeah,
I don't.
Well, I think it forced a lot of people together who weren't necessarily ready, because they decided to quarantine together because yeah. they didn't want to go their separate ways. So they were like, either we're in or we're out. And a lot of people chose in and they weren't necessarily ready. My experience is different because, you know, my husband and I were together for like 8 years before we got married. So we did that whole thing. We thought we were like being really smart. We were like, we've lived together. We know we can handle it. We've traveled, we've moved. But again, I think I only recently, within the past couple of years, have like gained enough self-confidence and sense of myself where I could even imagine being out on my own. So it's not that we realize we don't enjoy each other's company. Again, that's what's hard about it. We still really do. It's just that I need to do my own thing for a minute because I never have before.
Yeah, you skip that period of your life.
Yes.
Where a lot of people spent time on their own, even though they may have roommates or not have roommates, but they spent time on their own and then they kind of got into the relationship and then you kind of skipped that. It's very weird that you're doing it now where everything is opening up. So it's almost like you said, you're being tossed into this college style atmosphere because everything is up and running and going. I have some friends who are like, this is the most open their life has been in a long time because everybody is trying to, like, enjoy it while you can because
yeah.
you don't know if we're going to shut down again.
Right.
So you've learned to kind of treasure this
yeah.
this newfound freedom. So you're jumping into that pool.
You're right, yeah. And it makes you think about, you know, what's really important, what you want. You know, like I said, you're not still caught up in the daily grind of your activities. Everyone was kind of forced to take a moment and think about, like, hey, if I get COVID, God forbid something happens to me, something happens to my family, you know, you start to reflect on like what you really want and stop wasting time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great reality check for a lot of people, especially in the field that we're in. I think it damaged a lot of models and a lot of photographers and a lot of people who were used to, you know, people in the fetish world who were used to like going out, interacting with the community,
mm-hmm.
couldn't interact with the community or at least interact the way they want because COVID was so rampant. So now it's like, okay, we're slowly coming back
dipping
out.
Dipping a toe.
Dip the toe back in, see the water's a little warm. So what are some of the things you are hoping to accomplished? What are some of the achievements that, what are some of the goals you have set for you for the next couple of years as you're setting on this path?
I think overarchingly, you know, and everyone has a different value system. For me, the only thing that's ever mattered is I want to be happy and secure in myself and enjoy my life. That being said, it's not like, you know, a bohemian free-for-all. I want to obviously respect relationships and do the right thing and be a good person. But within that, I value happiness above all else, and relationships and communication. And I think you can learn so much from people all the time. And, you know, the social construct of marriage or what have you, I think, you know, encroaches upon that. And I would like to operate outside of those walls, I would say. So happiness, first of all, but also financial independence.
Very important.
It's a big one.
Very important.
You may or may not see me on a street corner one day real soon. I don't know, but we're going to try to get there.
We got you.
I think I can hustle. I am a hard worker. People don't know that because I haven't had to work hard in a long time. But yeah, I think those two things. And I want to have a very solid sense of who I am, what I want, what I'm all about. And I want to be unapologetic about it. And I think for a long time I was taught to be one thing. And even I believed that was who I was and what I wanted. But as I've grown, I realize it was just sort of bestowed upon me, and that's actually not what I'm interested in. So I think I just want to really hone in on what it is that I actually want.
Okay, I like that. All right. Let's ask you the deep question.
Okay. Because this hasn't been deep so far.
We're dipping our toes in. Dipping our toes in. All right, so I'm going to start. This is a three-parter. A three-part question. What, through this new change you're going through, this new chapter you're going through, this new path you're on, what about yourself do you want to change mentally?
That's a good question. I think I've already sort of been doing this subconsciously, but I think I grew up as a very negative, pessimistic person and just always shooting everything down. I think I was very fear driven. So if I wasn't the best at something, I just wouldn't even engage in it because I couldn't handle not being the best. And I think now, and specifically with modeling, the more things you just try and realize that you could fall on your face doing, the more open you become to new experiences and the less afraid you are of having them. Because what's the worst that can happen? Maybe it doesn't go great. Who cares? Move on. So I think that, I think I've learned that I'm very much an outside of the box person. I think a lot of conventional things that most people are into and abide by, and that sort of outlines the path of their lives, I don't necessarily agree with. Not that I'm like an anarchist or counterculture or anything like that. I just really think I'm more of a free spirit and want to live my life, not because that's the way that society tells me I should, but because that's the way that I want to, and that makes me happy, and that makes me the best version of myself that I can be.
Well, I did. That was a very deep answer and response.
For yeah,
deep,
well,
I liked
you know,
it. I liked it.
Yeah.
All right, now this is the audience question.
Okay.
What do you want this path to change about you sexually?
Yes, that is also a good question. I think I came from a place where I don't think I had like an overt amount of sexual shame or embarrassment, but 100%, you know, I would say an average amount. And I would like to feel unbridled and free and be able to, I think when you step into your sexual power, it translates to other areas of your life. It builds your confidence True. And your assertiveness, and you know what you want and you're not afraid to ask for it. So I think that I would like to get more comfortable in that space, and I think it will only help me grow as a person, but also, obviously, in the boudoir.
In the boudoir. All right, we're gonna wrap this question up with one that's gonna be a little bit outside of the box.
All right, hit me.
But I feel like it's perfect for you. What do you want this chapter of your life to change about the way you connect with people?
I will say, I think within the past couple years, like I said, as I've been growing and realizing who I am, I really value intimate relationships with people. If I connect with someone and I get a vibe, whether it's sexually, as a friend, as a mentor, as a mentee, whatever that connection might be, I would like to be able to lean into that again without feeling guilty or that it's inappropriate or that, you know, because I have a partner, I shouldn't be speaking to someone who we learn a lot from each other and, you know, it's a mutually beneficial relationship just because society says that we shouldn't be doing that. I think now I have the freedom to meet new people, get to know the people I've already met better. And I think that that is the way that people grow, and that's what I want. And now I don't have to answer to anyone about it. Not that, you know, my husband's not a dictator or anything like that, but, you know, it's like the confines of, like, the vows
and
whatever.
Being respectful of the guidelines,
yeah,
and the boundaries.
Yeah, of course.
I like that. I feel like you're at the beginning of this cocoon that...
Are you going to call me a butterfly right now?
I'm going to call you a butterfly. I was going to get to that part. First, I was going to call you a caterpillar.
Sorry,
and a cocoon. Alert. You just jumped right through it. I had this great analogy built up. But I feel like I'll switch it up. You're evolving.
Yes.
And I feel like nowadays a lot of people stop evolving because they get complacent. Mm-hmm. And I feel like from what you've told me, you got complacent and you felt yourself getting complacent. Mm-hmm. And when you get complacent, it's almost like a drowning feeling. Because it's like you're in this one spot and you just keep sinking and sinking and you're not making any headway.
Yeah.
And so now you're doing this and you're slowly making your way back up to get that first good big breath of air.
Yeah, well, and it's crazy. And I want to actually delve more into this, like, at a later date. I thought about writing about it. But I basically had everything anyone could ever want. You know, loving, supportive, sweet, smart, angel husband, huge house, like financial security. Like, I had all that, but it wasn't making me happy. And I think I never would have been able to recognize that in the past, but now I can, and I'm willing to throw all that away for uncertainty, and who knows what's going to happen, but it's that important to me that I feel the need to do that despite the lack of safety and security.
I love that you brought that up. Because a lot of people feel like when you have everything that people say you need.
Yes.
To feel complete and secure in your life. Mm-hmm. They look at you crazy when you give it all up. And I always tell people, you're not giving it all up. You weren't comfortable with it. You're letting it go.
Yes.
At this point in time, you weren't ready for it. So you need to find who you need to be before you are ready to be given all those things. You can get everything you wanted and have, like, the best life and the security, but if you're not ready for it, instead of it being an advantage, it becomes a burden and it weighs you down, which is something that you don't want because it's from someone that you care for dearly. So when the gifts and the stuff that they give you start feeling like a weight, that's when you know maybe you need to break.
Yeah, and that was a huge part of it. I mean, obviously, I'm a self-absorbed person, but he wasn't happy either. And I want him to have everything he wants, and I'm sure he'll find it because he deserves it. So, you know, it's a two-way street. I didn't want to encroach on his happiness either. But yeah, I mean, I like the way you said, I forget what you said, but it's not like an abrasive stop, It's just
a release.
A release, yeah. Letting it go, not clutching to it like your life.
Yes, depending on it.
Yeah, and I was kind of taught to want a certain life, and I thought I did, and now I don't think I do. And you even said like maybe you're not ready for it. I don't know that I ever want that. You know, the stable home life, kids, big house, all of that. I don't know that I'll ever want that. I think maybe I want to be on my own forever, and I don't really believe in monogamy, and I think it's unsustainable. That very well may change, and I admit that. People go through different phases of life, so I'm open to that. But at this moment, I feel like that might be something I never want.
Well, it's inspirational that you're able to say that. Because a lot of people want that and they feel that way, but never are able to say that.
Yeah, they just shit on me instead. Yeah.
You're just mad because I'm making the choices that you're just exactly. Too much of a bitch to make.
It's so but true.
It feels like you're like, you got all your stuff packed up. You are ready to start this big adventure. And you're looking at it knowing that there are going to be ups and downs, which is smart because a lot of people don't look at both sides of the coin. Just look at
sure.
One.
Yeah, but I know it'll be a struggle, but
it's going to be tough. But you have support. You have a support system here. We support you. You have friends who support you, which is what I want to ask you about. How are your friends accepting this new
sure.
This new chapter?
So that was a huge concern of mine. I feel like a lot of people who have been in my life since I moved to Connecticut aren't necessarily my friends. They don't know me. They don't understand me. They're just people who are in my life. And so I was fully ready for just a complete and utter rejection and judgment and people disagreeing and people like vacating the premises looking for the nearest exit. Thus far, and this is pretty new, like we just told our families a couple weeks ago and we haven't necessarily been like shouting it from the rooftops, so people are slowly starting to, you know, learn what's going on with us. People have risen to the occasion like way more than I thought I would. Whether or not they actually mean it, I don't know.
That's
yet
one
because
thing.
It hasn't been long enough, but at least initial reaction wise everyone has been very, very supportive, which I did not think would happen. So that's been a lovely change. But having to do with the subject of friends, I have a core group of, you know, a handful of people who've known about, you know, everything I've been thinking and feeling the last couple years, especially when, you know, it sort of comes to a head, and I could not be more grateful for them because I'm out here in Connecticut. I don't have family here. I only, you know, have the friends that I've made in the past 7 years since I've been here, but they have been like unconditionally loving and supportive. And without that, I don't think I could do what I'm doing.
It's always amazing how people will come through when you least suspect them
yeah.
to come through.
Yeah.
They always make it work. Well, thank you for taking time out and having this talk with us. We're going to have to do this again so we can get updates. We're going to have to make this like a series.
Yeah,
like
the
updates
chronicles
with Meredith, the chronicles. We'll just, every couple of months, we'll bring you back in.
Yeah.
We'll see how everything's
Give
going.
Give you the full update.
We'll see if we have to go to the corner to retrieve you. if everything will be okay. Thank you once again for doing this.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
And thank you guys for listening. And trust me, we will bring Meredith back. We will get Meredith to do another interview and we will get more updates and we'll see what other madness you've gotten into since this interview. Talk to you guys later. See you later, Space Cowboy. Bye-bye.
All right. That was a another episode of Everyday Kink. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed providing it to you. Now, if you like what you heard, you want to support the content, you want to support the creator, I always have links in the description. And if you want to help the podcast out, follow, like, favorite, suggest it to other people, share it. You can also donate so I can bring you information.